I'm going to speak on a book I read called The Surrendered Wife. Very good book. I'll tell you more about it now, but I really want it to be an interactive session. So I know it's a bit dark, so I can't see everybody's faces, but if you want to comment or ask a question or say, no, Sonika, I disagree, or I don't understand, please do that. Okay, the idea is not, I don't know it all, I don't have all the answers. I'm just going to share a few things with you that was really helpful for me in this book, and also a few of my own mistakes and things I've learned along the way. But I'm sure we can learn from one another, and I would value your input as well. So please feel free to ask a question or to stop me and to add. All right. So I just want to, before I do that, I just want to show you this box. It's called Dare to Share. It's how many cards? I think one for each day of the year. It's a card that you and your husband can discuss that makes communication really interesting and easier. So what I do, I put like 10 or 12 in my handbag, because you can't carry a box around. It's quite heavy. I put a couple of them in an envelope in my handbag, and whenever Andre and I have our date, coffee date, or we go for breakfast, I ask him, so can we do a card? And he always says yes, because that's our agreement, that we can do cards. And I'm just so amazed by how it helps us, because we work together. Our tendency is to talk about church, and we love church, and we love all of you, but it's also work. It's also work, and it's also our life, and it's also our hobby, and it's also our passion. So imagine you and your husband work together, and what you do is also your passion and your life. I mean, what do you talk about? So we easily fall back into just talking about church, because we're so excited about church. But it could sometimes become a burden, because that one party is, now we're excited about this, but okay, there's also things that should be done. And then it can easily become work. So these cards helped us a lot. It will take you back to your childhood. It will take you back in, or it will give you creative ideas to how to be romantic, or yeah, it's just great. So I just want to encourage you, if you want to try it out, it is quite expensive. Okay, let's take one. It's Afrikaans. Okay, I'll translate quickly. Share with each other. Date. As man and wife, do you still date enough? Do you spend enough time alone? And how have you experienced that? How can you purposefully spend more time together? How loyal is your partner towards you? Why do you say that? Do you protect your partner in front of other people, or... Okay, this is like a more personal questionnaire that you ask for one another. Oh, there's different... Rosie, you can go through the box. Okay. Yeah. So it's different things. It talks about marriage. It talks about your children. If you have children, it talks about your in-laws. It talks about childhood, many things. So it's quite a nice way of getting a conversation going. And then from there, it just easily flows. So it helps us a lot. Can order it. Just take this off. You just go to Dare to Share, Dare, and then a number 2, Share, on the internet, and then you can order these English ones and these Afrikaans ones. It's, as I say, it's not cheap. It's not that cheap. It's maybe 300 Rand or something, but let me tell you, it's absolutely worth it. So if you want to invest in your communication, please do it. I know many people who got it, but they don't use it, because you easily forget about it. This is why I put a few cards in my handbag, and there's always a card available. Even if we do one every 2 weeks, it's still one every 2 weeks. Okay. All right. So let's talk about this surrendered wife. I want to read to you just her introduction. This woman is actually not a Christian woman. She talks about God and she talks about church in her book. But right at the end, She talks about a higher power in which she believes, unfortunately. So she's not Christian. However, the principles in her book is very Christian. And this is why, on the one hand, I'm so excited. I mean, our senior pastor in Stellenbosch actually recommended this book to the women in Shofar, some of the pastors' wives. And for me, the fact that she's not Christian is actually exciting me, because that means that the Bible works. Whatever is in the Bible, it works, whether you're Christian or not. It's a truth. It's a God-given. It's something that God decided. This is how marriage will work, and He created marriage or relationships. Okay, so I want to read Jim. When I was newly married at 22, she got married at 22, I had no idea I would ever call myself a surrendered wife. She was quite a feisty feminist, this woman. She didn't even took her husband's surname. She kept her own surname. So she was this really kind of, okay, I'm a woman in my own right, and I'm doing it my way. I had no idea that I would ever call myself a surrendered wife, and at that time, the very phrase would have repulsed me. I did know that marriage was risky, because I'd watched my parents go through a brutal divorce. Still, I was hopeful that I could do better. I was amazed that my husband John could love me as much as he did, and part of me believed we could make our marriage work simply because it was born of so much goodness. So it worked in the beginning. At first, our marriage was blissful. Then I started to see John's imperfections more glaringly, and I began correcting him. It was my way of helping him to improve. And from my point of view, if he would just be more ambitious at work, more romantic at home, clean up after himself, everything would be fine. I told him as much. He didn't respond well. And it's no wonder. What I was really trying to do was control John. And the harder I pushed, the more he resisted, and we both grew irritable and frustrated. While my intentions were good, I was clearly on the wrong road. I was clearly on the road to marital hell. And in no time, I was exhausted from trying to run my life and his. Even worse, I was becoming estranged from the man who had once made me so happy. Our marriage was in serious trouble, and it had been only 4 years since we'd taken our vows. Okay, that is a story, or not a story, but the beginning. All right, so now she realized she must change her approach, because she was literally trying to control her husband and make him into something that she wanted him to be. However, she was, you know, as she says, she was on her way to marital hell. There was no single moment when the surrendered light bulb went off in my head. Instead, I changed little by little. I experimented. Okay, so she came to the conclusion, whatever she's doing, it's not working. So then she decided that she must make some changes, okay? And then she started experimenting. I changed little by little. I experimented first by keeping my mouth shut, and sometimes even my eyes, when John drove. When we arrived in one piece, I decided that I would always trust him behind the wheel, no matter how strong my urge to control. So that was our first experiment, okay? Keep my mouth shut and keep my eyes closed. And when we arrive at our destination and I'm alive and well, then, okay, I can trust my husband because he can drive. Even though if I keep my eyes open, it doesn't feel like it. So she started experimenting, and she's learned a few things along the way. And I just want to share it with you. So I'm gonna read a few things that I got from her book, and then I'll comment on that, and then we can open the floor for comments or discussion. Okay. She says, women feel the need to control because they fear that if they don't control matters, if they don't take matters into their own hands, their needs will go unmet. In other words, the reason why we want to control is we honestly believe that if we don't do it, then our needs will forever go unmet, or our desires will forever go unmet. When you give up unnecessary control of things, your husband does, how he drives, what he wears, what he does at work, how he loads the dishwasher, you actually gain power in the relationship and in your life. She's coming from the point that you have to pick your battles, and I'll come to that, okay? But when you give up unnecessary control of certain things, then you actually gain power, and I'll explain that as we go. When your husband knows that you are on his side, or when he gets the impression, when he feels that you are on his side, he can relax and feel confident in himself. Having that sense of safety will make it possible for him to share his innermost thoughts with you, and that's where you will find intimacy. So the reward, when we come to a place where we can let go of control and surrender, which is not easy, but when we can come to that place, it will make your husband feel safe with you. It will make it possible for him to share his innermost thoughts with you, and that is where you will find intimacy. Treating your husband with respect makes him want to be around you more, talk to you more, share more deeply, and make love to you more passionately. It will create a spark of excitement in what would otherwise be an ordinary day, and that endearing look of affection you sometimes see from couples who have been together for a very long time. Okay, so this is what she has experienced as the reward after changing from somebody who really wanted to control her husband to somebody who just said, okay, I'm going to let go. And it's difficult for all of us. So I just want to take you through a few things, practical things, and then we can talk around that. All right, the first one, how do we surrender? We have to listen to our husbands, and we have to have regard for his ideas, his suggestions, his family, and his work. We must learn to listen to them. And I know normally, Andrea also commented quite a bit on that, normally we want, it's a woman's desire for a husband to listen to her. We have a great desire for him to listen to her. But I've experienced that often they have as biggest need for us to listen to them. But we don't always do that. When we squash our husband's ideas, we kill his spirit. When we disrespect our husband's thinking, he feels rejected. You give him no choice but to believe that you already know what is best and have complete veto power. If you respond to your husband's ideas with trust, you will feel a new level of responsibility. So let me give you a few examples, and then I'll tell you what I've experienced in my own marriage. She says, one woman complained. It's now in her studies and in her groups where she worked with women. One woman complained that her husband would follow her around the house when she was trying to do things. Then it occurred to her that he was actually trying to talk to her. It was like following her, looking for an opportunity, but she's just like on the run. Another woman noticed that she interrupted her husband every few minutes by jumping up to get the laundry, talking to a toddler, or answering the phone. Let me tell you, this easily happens, especially when you have kids. It's just, there's so many things happening. I mean, even just with one boy, we're competing, eh? Vian goes like this, Mama, Mama, ik wil iets sê. Oh, no, sir. And then Andre is there, I'm here. He goes like, Mama, Mama, ik wil iets sê. Andre's like, no, Vian, I'm talking to Mommy now. I'm like, I don't know where to listen and where to not listen. Then I said to Andre, okay, can we just like answer him, get him out of the way, then we can talk? Otherwise, he's like, okay, he keeps quiet for 2 minutes, and then he comes like, okay, now it's my turn. So I've just, in terms of my relationship with Andre, I've realized that he's got a great need for me to listen to him because he's a talker. He bounces ideas off me all the time, and he needs me to give him my undivided attention. And I don't always do that. Another wife caught herself asking her husband questions and then tuning him out as soon as he begins to answer. Interesting. So what I've learned was in my marriage is that I really need to, maybe your husband is similar. Andre is a visionary. Okay, he dreams and he thinks big. And he doesn't always think detail. Okay, I think detail. I think, how much is this going to cost, and how much work is this going to be to get this project done? He's like, you know, 5 years from now, 2 years from now, oh no, next week. Ah, no, stop the boat. You know, but I had to learn, especially now working, because we work together, I had to learn not to stress so easily when he starts talking. He just wants to share his heart. It doesn't mean that we are going to do all these things. He just wants to dream. He just wants to think big and think bigger and bigger. And I learned that I can crush his spirit. I can really, you know, by being skeptical and by getting into all the detail of how much money is this, you know, going to be and how much work and no, I'm not so sure, you know. I'm like the one who's, you know, when I'm in, but it takes me a while to get there. Andre is like, how high, how far, you know, let's do it. So I had to learn, and I often make the mistake of when he shares his heart with me, I come with all the what ifs and the buts and the no, it's not going to work. Instead of just hearing him out, and then he's happy, you know. We're not, as I say, when it comes to the detail and the project and the how to do it, Andre is very hands-on. He's not only like just like a big thinker and, you know, completely unrealistic. He's quite, he's actually quite focused on the detail, but when he shares his heart, it's big and it's and I've often in the past crushed his spirit and made him feel stupid and made him feel as if what he shares is unimportant just because I'm so focused on the detail. So I don't know if anybody of you want to share any similar experience or how you, in terms of your husband's ideas or how he talked to you or how he wants you to listen to you, what you have experienced. Anyone? I'm going to give you the mic though, Kellyanne. Yeah, we're recording. Just keep it short, okay, because I have quite a few things, but I want us to share.
Okay, mine's very short. I just want to agree with you. I think my husband is exactly the same. He just likes to talk. And for me, I'm also quick. I just want to do. So for me, just to sit and listen is quite hard, but I can understand that.
I realized just now that like Dion was looking around on the internet for electric guitar because he's excited about that now. And when he mentioned it, I was like, okay. Immediately thinking, what does this thing cost? And what is he looking? He's probably looking at the most expensive one. He's not going to go for the cheap one, is he? I'm like, And then I carry on doing what I'm doing. Or just a quick, okay. What I should have done is, wow, Dion, show me on the computer. What does it look like? So what if it's something he's dreaming about? I should be excited about what he's excited about. And later on, if we see, okay, what is the cost going to be, then we can go to that extreme of talking about the finances. But it shows interest in him, not the guitar or our bank account.
Thanks, Gwabel. Very good example. If you share anything and you want it to be just edited out, or you feel you want to share something but you don't want it to be recorded, then I won't give you the mic. Okay, so don't be scared to, I don't want to break your confidentiality with your husband. But you know what? That is exactly the way I act. When Andre wants to, you know, do something and I think, oh, it means work for me and I feel overworked. Or when it means finances, then I'm not excited, you know. And it's so wrong because it's their world and we need to get into their world in the moment. You need to actually leave everything. It's like, oh, show me a picture, let me see. You know, we have to almost program ourselves to say, okay, leave everything now. Now is that moment. Leave everything and go and show interest in his world. It will mean the world to him. Let me tell you, that one small thing can change your marriage into something really special, because then he would just feel that you are interested in his world, and you will feel like the man. Okay, so let's tackle the next one. You treat him like an intelligent adult rather than an irresponsible child. Always remind yourself, this is also from the book, always remind yourself that you're married to a capable, loyal, hardworking, dependable man. When things go wrong as a result of your husband's decisions, remember that he is learning. And if you don't make a big deal about his mistakes, he will begin to take initiative in other areas. We have to allow our husbands to make mistakes. This is a big thing for us because we have that mother-wife mix or combination in us. We want to, you'll see all of you when you have kids, you want to train and teach them, obviously, not to make mistakes. But now we go into that same mode when it comes to our husbands. We don't want our husbands to make mistakes. And if we see a mistake coming from a distance, we're obviously going to tell them. But you know what? I've seen that the times in our marriage and in Andre's lives, in his life, when we had the best results was actually when he did make a mistake, when he learned from it himself, without me saying, yeah, I told you so, you know, that I told you so thing. When I didn't say anything, I would perhaps say something beforehand so he would know how I feel about it, but then I back off. I don't always back off, but the times I did back off, and he bumped his head and he made a mistake and he learned and he knew what I was feeling from the beginning. It was like that moment in our lives where he learned from it. Now we have a game plan and it changed everything for us. Your husband must make mistakes. Make a peace with it. We can't keep them. We can't forever keep them from making mistakes. You're gonna just be tired. And he's actually not going to learn. That is the other thing. If you're going to look after him like a little boy, you know, and just try and avoid, try and help him to avoid making a mistake, he's never going to learn. And the best way that a man often learns is just run into a brick wall, make a mistake, pick up his mess, and say, I've learned. Okay. So, yeah, that's all I want to share. That's all I want to share. Anybody else wants to add something to that? Rosie.
Early in our marriage, I've always tried to be the submissive wife, but sometimes it's very hard. When I can see, like you say, you can see a mistake is coming miles and miles ahead of time, and you just know that you know in your heart of hearts this is going to lead to such a disaster, and you try and do crisis management to try and soften the blow. But I've learned that I've got a little phase that you say, support your man and not the plan. And this has helped me tremendous. Where I've learned, I go to Ellen and I say to Ellen, this is how I feel, but it is your decision. And I leave it and I back off. And lo and behold, a couple of months later, it will happen the way I thought it would happen. And I don't say a word, and he just comes to me, and he says to me, oh, I see. And I just think to myself, support the man, not the plan. Support the man, not the plan. And it saved a lot.
Excellent example. She said it in much beautiful, better English than I can ever do it. That is exactly what we must do. We are, by... When I say we must surrender to our husbands, when the Bible talk about respecting our husbands and submission, that I don't actually want to use the word submission tonight, but it doesn't mean that we can't give our opinion. Okay, please always remember that it's not about what we say, it's how we say it, it's our timing, it's the way in which we approach our husbands. It's something in our hearts, and we are allowed to speak. It's a partnership. Okay, even though our husband is the captain of our team, it's a partnership. We are allowed to speak. We have to speak. We have to. However, you need to trust God for wisdom when to back off. And after you have said what you wanted to say, when to back off and when to leave it. And if it backfires, it backfires. Then you stand with your man. Then you go down together. Now, I'm serious. This is where we must lay down. I want to say something very important now. We must lay down our reputation. We must lay down our reputation. I had to do it many, many, many times in my life, where I think I want to have anything to do with that decision. And I'm like, you're on your own. And then I realize, I can't do this. This is what I want to do, okay? This is what I want to do. You're on your own. And then I realize, this is not a covenant. What if God does that to me? Oh, Sonika, you're on your own. There you go. I'm out of here. What am I going to do if God has said to me, I'm in a covenant relationship with the Lord. He's never going to leave me nor forsake me. We are in a covenant relationship with our husbands. You have to stick to Him, even if it costs you your reputation. And I want you to go home and think about this one. Because obviously if it's something that you disagree with, when it comes to... But none of us are in that position, okay? Because we're married to guys who love God and who follow the Lord. But we have to, when we are in a covenant relationship, we have to stick to a man. You must tell yourself, I must let go of my reputation. Okay, any questions around that? Just go home and think about it, okay? Because often I found that the reason I get upset, the reason I want to make him change his mind is because I'm going to look bad. Or I'm worried. What are people going to think about, not about us, about me? Because if he does it and says it, obviously it looks as if I'm supporting that. Okay? So we have to let go of our reputation. Have to. You must stick to your man. Okay? You have to stick to your man. You don't tear him down. You don't tear him down. By constantly controlling my husband, we're talking about how to surrender, okay? We said we have to listen to him. We have to treat him like an intelligent adult rather than an irresponsible child. You don't tear him down. By constantly controlling my husband and often, unwittingly, set up negative expectations for him. I subtly but clearly let him know that I expected him to screw up, drop the ball, let me down, and make a mess. I call these spouse-fulfilled prophecies. So she kind of subtly hint that, I see it coming. So here, I'm going to give you a few examples. And once again, it's not necessarily what we say, it's how we say it. Okay, and I mean, I've made so many mistakes in my marriage. Okay, I'm still learning. I'll learn for the rest of my life how to honor my husband and how to respect him. But as long as we are learning, as long as we move towards a place where we improve, and as long as we are aware of this and this and this is not honoring, and it's not respectful. Here are the kinds of things that we frequently say that have negative expectations attached to them. Don't you think we should slow down a little when you're driving? So the expectation is you're going to crash the car. Or the second one, you have to rinse the dishes before you put them in the dishwasher. Expectation, you're not doing a good job. You're not going to do a good job. Or another one, why don't you just call a plumber? Expectation, you can't fix it yourself. Why don't you just call a plumber? And another one, if I were you, I wouldn't put up with that from my boss for 1 minute. So what you're communicating is, you can't stand up for yourself. So it's subtle. It's very, very, very subtle. And as I say, once again, it's not necessarily the exact words that is the problem. It's something in you that make him feel incapable, that make him feel, Claire, you will never have this problem that your husband can't do or fix something. You'll never have to call a plumber. So it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And I've said it many times, but I'll keep on saying this. We have to treat our husbands like the king, even if they do not act like a king. Just as difficult as as many other things. We have to treat him like a king. I'm teaching Via now that Papa is the koning. You must listen to this one. Papa is the koning. Now, the one day, Andre, it doesn't often happen, but the one day Andre went to the freezer, he took ice cream, and he went upstairs. It's like, but then Via noticed, okay, Via noticed Daddy is now having ice cream, and the two of us, we're not having ice cream. He said to me, Mama, hoekom kan Papa room ice kry? Omdat hy die koning is. So I said, yes, my boy, because Daddy is the king, he can have ice cream. So he was totally fine with it. I was amazed. I thought he's going to say, no, this is unfair. He said, oh, okay, Daddy is the king, he can have ice cream. Oh, we can't. I was amazed, you know, and by looking at his attitude, I learned so much. And I said to myself, my husband is the king. He can have ice cream. And I often have to say that, you know, when I want Andre to do something and he's not doing it, and I say to myself, okay, my husband is the king, my husband is the king, my husband is the king. He's allowed to just sit on the couch while I unpack the dishwasher. So, no, sometimes we have a straight conversation about, you know, what duties the king also has in the house. But it's a hard attitude. I've seen that if I get my heart right, that Andre is the king, or that he's like a guest, you know, a special guest. If you have a special guest in your house, you're going to tell him, oh, no, sit down. You're not going to do the dishes. Sit down. And I just say to myself, we must remind ourselves of that our husband is the king. We must treat him like a special guest. They must do the same for us, but Andre will talk to them about all of these things. But it can do something in your relationship. It can spark something to such an extent that he would actually do it out of his own free will, you know, if we treat him with respect. And by that, I'm not saying that we can't have talks with our husbands. I often sit Andre down and I tell him, or I ask him, okay, can we just talk again about what do you do, what do I do, what can you do to help me? And you have to have that kind of conversation with your husband, all right? But if it doesn't happen, we can't treat them like a little boy was naughty. You didn't do the dishes. And I told you, it's our agreement, remember? Now they feel stupid. So you always have to remind yourself, my husband is the king. He is allowed to forget to do that. It's not easy. It's a hard thing. But we have to trust the Lord to get to that. So any comments on that? That we should treat them like a king, that we should not tear them down, make them feel stupid. Any comments? Suggestions? Questions? Nothing. Okay. Changing your hat. It's a very practical one I had to do, especially when I was still working before I joined Andre at the church. I worked at PricewaterhouseCoopers for 11 years. And when I moved from being doing my articles to going into a managerial position, I would find myself going home, and then I would start managing my husband as well, because I was used to delegating. So now yes, Elviet. I was used to delegating, and you even delegate to men. Obviously, you say, okay, this must be done. I want this on Monday, 8 o'clock, on my desk, thank you, and all those things, okay? So I was used to delegating to big teams, and then I find myself, when I get home, I make lists for Andre. And I soon discovered it's not going to work. I literally had to take off my manager hat and put on my wife hat when I walk into the home. It's different with your husband. You can't treat him like you treat a colleague. You can't. you must put on a different hat, have a different tone of voice, have a different strategy. You can't just now, okay, you're one of my employees, and why is this not done? It's been broken for 2 weeks. The light bulb, I can't see in the kitchen. You know, there's so many things I can share with you, but now, if you have asked him to do it and he doesn't do it, it's just as big a problem to now fix it yourself, unfortunately. I've done that, you know. I've asked Andre to do something. When we moved here, it was a bit chaos because Vian was born shortly after we moved here, so now it's boxes and things. I wanted him to put a photo frame on of my wedding pictures on in our bedroom on the wall. And after a year, it was not done. But my poor husband was sorting out the church and everything, okay? So, I mean, really, it's not such a big thing, you know, that after a year, it's not as if he didn't want to do it. It was just if kept forgetting all the time. And then after a year, I decided I can do this myself. I can use a hammer and a nail. I can do this. So I walked down, got the hammer, everything. Then I started doing it. And then it was a disaster. Absolute disaster in our relationship because he felt I dishonored him, you know. I had genoeg gehad van wag. I'm going to do it myself. And I dishonored him. I didn't even give him a chance. You see, I gave him a here yes and no. What we have to take into account is what is on our husband's table, what is on his plate, what is in his mind and in his heart. It wasn't, for me it was a big thing. My wedding photos must be in my room. I want to see it. It's important for me. For him, he had millions of things to think about. And I was upset about something really small, and I handled it the wrong way, even though it took a year for him to do. Oh, it didn't take a year, he didn't do it. I did it myself. But you see, even if he did, even if he maybe did it after a year, the wrong attitude is to say, "Huh, it's about time. It's about time." The right attitude is to say, "Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I know you are busy. I know you have a lot of things to think about. Thank you so much for doing it." You see, we have a choice. Do we want to destroy something? Do we want to do damage to our intimacy with our man? Because we crave intimacy with our husbands. And we can either get intimacy or we can destroy intimacy by our actions. Okay? We have to change our hat. Okay, how on earth did I get now to this photo frame thing? I don't know. Okay, I'm not going to allow anybody to talk now because I'm worried about what's going to come out now. All your stories about, my husband's been taking 6 months to do this. Okay. Let your husband be the children's father. It's not applicable to so many of you. But I found that whenever I go away now and Andre looks after Vian, I say to myself, if my boy is alive when I come back and they had a good time, it's okay. I give Andre like a basic list of things, and it's on the list are also things like must brush his teeth and, you know, bath. Normally when I come back, he didn't bath at all for a whole weekend, which is not such a big deal, okay? I promise you, your child is not going to die if they don't bath. And he normally forgot at least once or twice to brush his teeth. And I decide before I go away, I make conscious decision. I'm not going to be upset about anything that happened. Even if they eat Kentucky like morning, noon, and night. I'm not going to freak out because I'm going to make myself unhappy. A dad does things differently, and we have to respect that, okay? It's not applicable to most of you, so let's move on. We have to pick our battles. Pick your battles. Okay, listen to this one. If you find yourself with a criticism about something that doesn't usually bother you, Remind yourself that you must pick your battles. If you're thinking about something small, for example, he never puts his dirty dishes in the dishwasher. He just puts it in the sink. It's most likely not something worth bringing up, okay? It's not something that usually bothers you, but now today, you can't believe it. You know, he's doing it again. His habit may truly bug you, but is it worth nipping him so he'll want to avoid you? No. Instead, now listen to this. Instead, ask yourself what could be bothering you. Are you overtired or hungry or lacking in self-care? And try to give yourself what you need. Let me tell you, I often find myself freaking out about stupid things. And I'm sure you can all relate to that. Einster, this dirty dishes thing. You know, I can't tell you how many fights we've had over dishes. And we now have a dishwasher, so our level of conflict decreased dramatically, praise God, after we got a dishwasher. But there's still conflict because now the thing must, I mean, it's just not going to work all by itself. However, I found often, you know, when I freak out about small things, I should have waited. And I realized I should have blamed PMS. Seriously. I should have blamed PMS. I should have blamed exhaustion. It's often when I'm really tired or when it's that time of the month when I freak out about small things. And then, yes, it is something that bugs me, but most of the time it's not a big deal for me. There's other things that are way more important for me to talk about. But now on this one day, I freak out about this thing, and it's just so unpleasant and unnecessary. And I've realized now that I must have an internal evaluation and just see, okay, Sonika, what is really bothering you? Are you tired? Are you just tired? Is it your hormones? What is wrong? Instead of just blaming my husband out of the blue, or not blaming, like, you know, I'm now ready for a fight here. And I'm not normally like that, you know. So you have to evaluate yourself. You have to pick your battles. We can't fight about everything. We're going to not make it. You have to talk about the things that are really, really important. And the smaller things, you need to make sure, is it really something you need to bring up? Or is it something you need to at least give a day or two and then talk about it instead of just jumping on it right at the moment? Okay, so start separating the real issues from the small ones. Any comments on that? I'm sure there's lots of stories. Okay.
Just something simple, washing on the floor. that was a big issue for us. But in our marriage preparation, we learned that not to, like, say, you are putting your clothes on the floor, and I have to spend half an hour walking around the house to find all your missing socks and everything. But to say that it will help me to, if you put your washing in the basket, so that I can do it quicker, and then I can make sure your washing's always in the cupboard. So then he started putting his clothes in the washing basket, but I also realized that I'm more finicky about the washing thing because now I like sorting everything out and it must be color by color and sort by sort, and that's why it's a big issue for me to go half an hour because then I don't have enough time sorting it out. And as soon as he realized that and we spoke about that, now I'm also more relaxed about it because now he knows that that's the issue for me, so he tries to help me, puts his stuff in the washing basket like 5 seconds, and then we have much more time spending together about the day and that.
Thank you. Anybody else? You must get a game plan with these things, okay? These kind of things will always be part of our marriage, and for each one it will be different. But you have to get a game plan, something that works for you. Okay, anything else? Somebody wants to share around this. Okay, Sandy. About that photo frame thing.
No, just a comment on it. I'm not complaining. My dear husband.
you said that, you know, if you ask your husband to do something, and then it would be disrespectful to go and do it. Is it not our responsibility to help? And I'm sure it bugged Andre that those wedding photos were lying on the floor for a year and he hadn't got around to it. So by you putting them there, were you not helping?
You see, I was helping with a very bad attitude. You see, he could see that I was upset. So I made him feel like a bad husband. Okay, so obviously if you communicate, say for example, you communicate with your husband, you agree. He tells you, Liffy, I don't have time, really. Just give me some grace. I don't have time to do it now. Then you can ask him, but would it be okay then if I do it myself? Then he will tell you, please, by all means, do it. That is totally fine. Okay, because then it's this, that agreement. What happened, I would ask him, and then I would ask him again, and then I would ask him again. Maybe, I can't remember, okay? It was one of those days when I was in a bad mood, so I saw the photo frame is still on the floor. I mean, I was like, when are you going to do that? I mean, now it was bad timing. I was not in a good mood, and he was busy, and now all of a sudden I'm on his case, okay? Because the fact that it was a year woke me up. Okay, so now I'm on his case. He's busy with something really important, and now I'm disrespectful, you know? Now I think, I'm not going to ask you again. I won't ask you again. I'm going to do it myself. So I didn't talk it through with him. I didn't ask him, would it be okay if I do it myself? I just went and did it. Okay. And also, if you ask your husband, would it be okay if I do it myself? And he tells you, no, I will do it for you. You have to wait. If you do it then it's even more disrespectful. So, but obviously, if you talk about it and you agree that you do it and he's fine with that, totally fine. It was my attitude more than anything else. Okay, I made him feel, if whatever we do, make them feel like a naughty boy who is in trouble now. We've missed it. Okay, we've missed it. Then we act like their mother, which is it's very bad for them. It's hard. It's terrible. They hate it. Okay, so we must at all times aim not to make them feel stupid, not to make them feel like a naughty little boy. Okay.
Just on that, so if basically it would have taken him another year, if he would have told you now, no, he's going to do it, but it would have taken him another year to put that picture up before he would have done it, you would just have let it go?
Then you must make a choice. What do you love more, that picture on your wall? Or you need to make a choice. You need to make a choice. You see, because that's just one example. There can be hundreds of things that must be done in the house. You can have a constant battle with this thing. I think you have to communicate that to your husband, because obviously in Andre's mind it wasn't that important. I didn't communicate it like that. It's really special to me. I feel sentimental about it. It was our wedding day. I really want it. So I think it's all about how we say it and when we communicate. I can't when he's busy and in front of his computer and now working on whatever. Now come with, so when are you going to put my picture up the wall? It's like, what picture are you talking about? You know, we have to put ourselves in his world and then communicate properly. And I'm sure if we do that, it won't take a year. You see, when we got here, it was chaos. Our baby was born. Andre was on his own with the church. He didn't have any other full-time staff member. It was him and himself. I had a baby, so I was out for the count. I had to give him grace, you see. It was just in that very moment, I thought, it's been a year. I didn't talk it through with him again. I was impatient, and I was just acting in that moment. Okay. So you have to, sometimes we just need to stop and say, okay, is it really such a big deal, this thing that is now so important to me? And have I properly communicated my desires to my husband? Okay. Okay, just practical tips of what helps me to do this. We have to take care of ourselves.
We have to take care of ourselves. Okay, let me just read you one more thing that she says. Once you stretch beyond your limits, surrendering is nearly impossible. Surrendering means that you commit to being compassionate and understanding, which require patience and concentration. And all these qualities disappear when we feel run down and anxious. The more well-rested, well-nourished, and balanced you are in work, rest, and play, the more sure-footed you will be on the road, on the high road of surrendering. You have to take care of yourself. You have to look after yourself. And this is what often happens. The woman in the house, or the mom especially, she's lost in the row when it comes to rest, when it comes to entertainment, when it comes to priorities. You have to look after yourself. Right? It doesn't help that your husband is treated like a king, but you are completely run down and completely emotional and overworked and tired. Then you're not going to be pleasant to be around with, okay? You're not going to be a happy person. So you're not going to be fun to be with. So find yourself things that helps you to take care of yourself. Like exercise for me is a lifesaver. I have to get exercise. If I don't get exercise, then I become miserable. And it helps for me, exercise helps me to control my emotion or to manage my emotional side. I'm doing exercise more for my emotions than for the physical side necessarily, because it helps me to think clearly if I get out and I do something. So whatever works for you, exercise, maybe you just need maybe you need good enough rest. That's the other thing. We must get enough sleep, which is not always so easy when you're married and when you have lots of things to do. But I want to encourage you, get a game plan so that you can get enough rest, sleep enough, get exercise, look after yourself. You are allowed to look after yourself as well, to treat yourself every now and again. And when it comes to that, talk to your husband about a budget for you, for whatever you want to do, or you'll be surprised how happy they would be just to say, of course, do that, unless you're really tight financially. But I'm absolutely amazed how open Andre is for me to do things that I want to do and that I like. Even if I tell him, do you know how much it costs to highlight my hair? Okay, let me tell you. Oh, really, that much? Oh, that's fine. He's like, I think he's going to get the shock of his life and then tell me, okay, no, sorry, you never do it again. And he's just, of course. It's so whatever your needs, whatever makes you feel special and whatever helps you to take care of yourself, communicate that to your husband. Okay, take care of yourself. It's very important. Okay, and you don't actually do it for yourself, you do it for your marriage. Because if you are completely exhausted, you can't, what can you give? What can you give? You are also entitled to get some exercise, to have free time, to read a book, you are entitled to sit on the couch and do nothing. I give you permission. Do you want to share something?
I totally agree with you. You know, like, for instance, I've got a lot of stress at work. And since I've moved up from PE, I've joined a hockey club. And it's so nice on a Thursday evening to go out and just get the frustration out on the field and, like, come home and you just have, like, that frustration and stress is gone and you can just be with your husband, you know? So it's very important to have that something that you're not with your husband to get that frustration from work or whatever. Just, you know.
Yolinda.
I've just, like, over the last, I was quite a perfectionist kind of person, but my circumstances forced me to, like, get rid of that perfectionism. And it's quite, I just learned, wait, let me just get to my point. Okay. I just learned that, you know, they always say men have a nothing box that they just get into. And I really have learned that it's quite important for a woman who's not necessarily, like, wired that way, but to almost force ourselves to get into a nothing box for a little while, just to like keep sane, you know. And I found that it really works. Like, and also to explain to your husband, listen, I need, because they don't always think about getting into their nothing box to take a break, you know. But and they don't understand if they are expecting us to do something quickly or not that they really do that a lot, but they don't understand if you're really taking a break now because they're so used to you doing always doing something. Just to explain to them that listen, just need like a few minutes, just give me a break. I just want to get into a nothing box quickly. And you got to kind of like force yourself not to think about anything, which is difficult. But it, like with a little bit of training, it gets there. Even if it's just sitting on your bed and lying with your eyes closed for 5 minutes and try to think of the words of a song or something like that, I find it really works. Just that little bit of a break that will just like force you to get all of your thoughts and things like into a pattern again, because sometimes it can go quite haywire.
So you are entitled to look after yourself, to take care of yourself. Also in terms of friendships, we have to invest in our friendships, in our normal friendships with girls. You have to do that. Even though your husband should be your best friend when you get married, he can't be your only friend. He can't be your only friend. So for those of you who are in a position where your husband is your only friend, it's an unhealthy situation because they don't have the capacity to deal with all our girl things and our emotions. They don't have the capacity. So you have to find yourself good friends. You know, and you don't, I mean, I'm not a person who have 15 good friends, you know. I always think about Jesus, who had the 12 disciples, and then who had the three who were closer to him. But then he had his relationship with God, was actually his friend, you know, and his dad, but that was his friend. That's our example. So my relationship with God is crucial for me as a married woman. I have to talk to God about many, many, many things. Otherwise, I'm not going to cope in my marriage and in everything I need to do. So God is my best friend. Then Andre is my second best friend. And then I have girls that I talk to. And some girls I talk to more, I would share more. And some I would share less. But you would need to find people that you can talk to. Okay? With the one girl, you will maybe just do a step class together. That's your friendship. Okay? And with some, you would watch nice, certain kind of movies that you enjoy. With the one you can pray together. With the one you can do this or that. So you don't, I would almost recommend avoid finding that one best friend that you do everything with and you share everything with, because that can also become an unhealthy situation. So ask God to show you where can you find friends that you can do different things with, that you can invest in that. That's part of our well-being and our taking care of ourselves. All right? So you have to invest in friendships. That's it. But the most important, I wanna just emphasize this again. We can't do all of this. It's not enough time to talk about everything. Hey, we should talk about. But we need God. We need God. I cannot do this without God's help. I cannot be patient. I cannot, after a year that my photo frame is not on the wall, I can't do it without God. I'm freaking out without the Lord. Really, I'm not by nature. Some of us by nature are patient. Oh, Andre is looking at me now. Okay. Some of us by nature are patient or more soft-hearted. It's only going to help you up until a certain point. We all need God. Okay, I'm gonna pray a prayer and then I'm gonna leave you and to enjoy. Please enjoy your marriage. Okay, God, I bless all these beautiful women, Lord. I bless their marriages. I bless their husbands, Lord. I pray that you will prosper and just bless their marriages in a way that they will could never imagine. In Jesus' name, I pray, God, for a unity, for a companionship, for a new level of excitement and romance, and just a special connection between them and their husbands in the name of Jesus. God, we take authority over any plan of the devil and the enemy to steal from us. And I release every spiritual blessing that there is, God, on our marriages, on our husbands, on us as a wife. And I pray, God, that you'll equip every woman here tonight to be the best wife that they can be. Not perfect, but the best wife for their husband. And I pray, God, that they will have joy, that they will have fun, and that they will enjoy their husband and their marriage. In Jesus' name, amen.